it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
At Blinds.com, it's not just about window treatments. It's about you, your style, your space, your way. Whether you DIY or want the pros to handle it all, you'll have the confidence of knowing it's done right. From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
I have a very high expectation of what I've always thought this franchise is, and that was the best franchise in sports.
In the moments where we are now, as players, we got to execute. Every day, I'm so fortunate to be a part of this team.
This is 49ers Plus Minus.
Hey everybody, Tim Kawakami here, 49ers Plus Minus, and yet again, we have an evening show and I have a shadow across my face, but that's the video world for you. We'll just deal with it. Barros has no shadow across his face. My co-host, Matt Barros of The Athletic, clean and lean as always. I'm going to be distracted by this shadow, but hopefully no one else is. Matt Barros, 49ers have a lot of things they could be distracted about constantly, always. It's just a crisis mode there at all times. At this point, I'm thinking like it's just, they're used to it. We're getting used to it. But Brock Purdy looking like he's going to miss this game. Maybe another one after that. Maybe another one after that with shoulder. And I think, obviously, more seriously, probably a turf toe, although they will not say that it's a turf toe. He just played on artificial turf. I'm thinking in the way the play that was when he was running out of bounds, it looked like he caught his foot a little bit. You know how much I love those artificial surfaces. They're paying these guys millions and millions of dollars, and these teams, not the 49ers, will not invest in grass fields to make them safer. But it is Mac Jones' time. It is the reason he was acquired was to give them somebody serviceable if Purdy should miss a game or two like he did last season and Brandon Allen was not a serviceable backup. What are you expecting from Mac Jones? And I guess he didn't talk to the media today. Well, that's a little weird to me. The starting quarterback usually talks on either Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah, this week it's Friday. Okay. So I think the 49ers are, you know, this is, I call these shenanigans because it's Shanahan and they're holding out hope that possibly Purdy practices and could talk on Friday. I think we know that that's not going to happen. It's going to be Mac Jones, but they are stretching this out as long as they can possibly do that. That's their only advantage going into this game is that there's some iota of doubt. Although, you know, our Diana Rossini reported early in the week that the Saints are just, you know, preparing as if it's going to be Mac Jones. They don't seem to be fooled by this chicanery. And I think the 49ers are happy with Mac Jones. They're confident in Mac Jones. He had a good, you know, not spectacular, just a solid training camp. Looked good in spring, looked good in the summer. They expect him to, you know, be very Brock Purdy-like. The issue is that he doesn't have a very good supporting cast. He didn't do very well with the Jaguars last year, and we talked about this in our last podcast. The Jaguars have some good receiving options in Brian Thomas. Juwan Jennings hasn't practiced this week with the mystery shoulder injury. And, you know, Kendrick Bourne is coming in. He could end up being Mac Jones's favorite target. As recently as he arrived, at least those two have a history together in New England and a good history. I think that those are the glimmers of hope that the 49ers are clinging to, that Juwan Jennings will play, that Kendrick Bourne will be more than serviceable as a possible number three tight end. Number three wide receiver, because their top tight end, George Kittle, is not going to play in this game or any of the next three. So it's, you know, if you're comparing wide receiving core, pass catching cores around the league, the 49ers right now are at the bottom.
Yep, and that is something that they like to have a lot of talent at. You know, we talk about them maybe scrimping at the offensive line, safety, whatever, but not on the guys who score touchdowns. And they have very few experienced, proven guys who can do it. Also on the offensive line, Trent Williams did not practice yesterday or today. I think they called it rest slash knee, but I could see them being very cautious about that one. You have documented that he gave up a lot of pressures in week one. I think something I said last week, I'm really thinking again, like Trent at his age with his injuries on artificial surface might be tougher. And this is yet another artificial surface game. Maybe you sit him, but then you're thin there and you're thin everywhere. This is going to be an interesting game. We know the Saints aren't very good. And I'm almost looking at it as, is this going to be a test case of how good the Cardinals are? Because they were kind of in it against the Cardinals. And you're thinking, man, if they're as bad as we think they are, maybe the Cardinals aren't.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid. And it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you
what
know why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him. And they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So good. We'll see if the 49ers just kind of knock them around with all their backups, including the backup quarterback. That'll be something, a conclusion I'll make about the Cardinals. It doesn't always quite work like that, but I will do that. You still think the 49ers are more talented than the Saints? You still think they should win this game if they play relatively clean? Like they don't have to do anything spectacular to win this game?
I mean, I think it's pretty even at this point. I mean, you know, the Saints don't have an established quarterback, but they've got a really good receiver in Chris Olave. They've got Brandon Cooks. They've got Shaheed as their third wide receiver. Alvin Kamara as the running back. He's great out of the backfield as a receiver. They've got a really good defensive line. Yeah, I'd say it's even. I think that the over-under, Tim, on this game is 42 points around that. 42 and a half. Yeah. Man, if I'm a betting man, and I'm not, and I never should be because I stink at these things, but boy, this game is screaming under.
Might be half 42. Might be half 42.
Exactly. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be an ugly score game. I think it's going to be like 15-13. So, I mean,
five field goals for Eddie Pinheiro. You're calling
well,
it five field
I goals. Would not be shocked. I would not be surprised at all if Eddie Pinheiro lines up for a game winner in a stadium in which he's kicked, by the way, because he was with the Panthers for a few years. So once a year in the Superdome, this could look like a genius move for the 49ers. But, yeah, I mean, talent-wise, you know, toe-to-toe, I guess the 49ers – defense you would put ahead of the Saints overall. I'm not real familiar with the Saints secondary, but I know that they don't have Fred Warner and Dee Winters, who's playing like the second coming of Dre Greenlaw. Maybe that puts the 49ers over the edge, but people should not go into this game expecting a cakewalk. I know everybody looks at the schedule at the when it comes out in May and they're like, win, easy win. Nah. It's not going to be an easy win in New Orleans.
Nick Bosa, I think, big. I called the one sack last week. I'm calling two sacks.
Two.
Wow. Yeah, I said that back like a month ago. I said one in Seattle, two in New Orleans. Spencer Rattler will be there to be had. They got to stop the run, right? If they can't stop the run, then this game might get out of their control. And Alvin Kamara is a really good running back. The Saints will want to run the ball, but they couldn't very well against the Cardinals. I can't imagine. The 49ers are going to want anything like that. They're going to want Rattler threw the ball 46 times Sunday. They would love that. I think the 49ers would anything close to that. Put the ball up in the air. Now, Olave is good. And if they can get him matched up against Upton Stout in the slot, that might be a little dangerous for the 49ers. Jackson Smith and Jigba certainly cooked them, but they didn't give up many points to Seattle. Like, this is a defense I think that can hold New Orleans out of the end zone. I don't think they're going to be driving much on the 49ers. Not that I think the 49ers defense is great, but they do have great players. And can the 49ers get one touchdown and two field goals? Can they do that? I think that might do it. you know, maybe the Saints get one touchdown, maybe they get two field goals, something, but they're not getting 13. I think 13 wins this. 14 or 13 should win this. Can Mac Jones avoid turning it over, which you know Shanahan's going to be conservative, turn around, give it to Christian McCaffrey, see what he can do with Ricky Pearsall. And I do think one other playmaker, Barrow, is probably going to be one other playmaker. I don't know who it's going to be. Jake Tongas is certainly a touchdown maker. I think it might be Brian Robinson Jr. From what we saw on Sunday. Maybe it's going to be Isaac Garendo, just because neither one of us impressed much by Brian Robinson. Might just be his first game. Who would you say? Like, who could be that other playmaker for the 49ers? Maybe it's Kendrick Bourne.
Maybe it is Kendrick Bourne. I think he's going to get opportunities to do that. But I would say Garendo, on turf. He's good out of the backfield as a receiver. I'm not exactly sure why the 49ers lost faith in him. I think it's injury based more than anything. When you miss time in training camp, you're sort of out of sight, out of mind. You just fall behind, and they start looking for other options. So I think that happened to both Garendo and Jordan James. And Jordan James is still limited in practices. But Garendo has the ability. I mean, I felt as if Garendo got the same blocking as Brian Robinson did in Seattle. At least one, maybe two of those would have been big chunk gains. And maybe one he ends up in the end zone. So there's one of your touchdowns that you're calling for right now.
All they need to do
is get to 13. Yep. And I am a little worried that Nick Bosa is going to crack under the pressure of this two sack.
calling it.
Babe Ruth bat point that you're doing on his behalf. I'm sure he loves that.
Yes.
I think it's going to be a messy game, kind of clogged up game. And I also wonder about the 49ers run defense. I think that they got the benefit of playing the Seahawks in week one. Seahawks are, adjusting to a whole new blocking scheme, whole new run scheme, whole new offense. And it takes time to learn it, as the 49ers found out in 2017, 2018. The Saints are adjusting to a new attack, too.
The offensive coordinator they had is now the Seattle offensive coordinator.
Right. Yeah, there you go.
Weird transition there.
Yeah, exactly. So, two teams, the 49ers are lucky in this way that they're not facing a tried and true team, a team that has carryover from the year before early in the season, because they're doing the same thing, basically. Theirs is more personnel-based than anything, getting these rookies, these young guys, these newcomers in. But I think the aggregate of both of those it's the immovable object against the unstoppable force, but the opposite. it's a crap fest in some ways. So 13-10, is that what you're calling for this game?
13-10, I'm calling it. I'm calling 13-10. I mean, I can't go higher. Can you go higher than 13-10?
Yeah, I mean, I think one team scores in the mid-teens. That's as far.
Unless there's a pick six or a return for a touchdown, which we know the 49ers won't have a return for a touchdown. Unless there's something where there's some explosive that's unpredictable, field goal block for a touchdown, something. I just can't see more than three scoring drives by either team, by one of the teams. And then I can't see more than one, maybe two touchdowns from either, from a separate team. But I don't foresee that. You're right. I mean, the defense, 49ers defense is the one that is not banged up. 49ers defense is young, but they do have stars. They like their young players. We've seen their young players do good things. This is a chance for them to go, okay, let's go win a game. They certainly didn't do it last year. They've done it in the past with some different names. But maybe it's a title. I can picture that. It's coming down to you guys up by three. Go make a stop, right? Stop Spencer Rattler. Can you dare stop Spencer Rattler? Is that possible? And build some momentum if they can do it. And, build some confidence. Get Mykel Williams make a play. We've seen D Winners make plays. Make some more plays. D'Amato Lenore is a leader. Go make a play. Go pick a ball off. That could be possible. Again, it doesn't prove that they're a great defense because it's the Saints, but a defense that can be growing, that is healthy right now. We know the offense is not at all healthy, very unhealthy. Well, could be unhealthy for a couple more weeks. This is a chance to pocket another win. First of all, they're got to be really, really happy they won that game last week, because if you had not won that game and then you lose your quarterback and your tight end and your receiver, things could get really scary. Still could if they lose. Let's say they lose their next four games, with the Rams being the fifth, you know, the game five, that would be a problem. But picking up that one in Seattle, they can get this one. You've already knocked out two road games, two artificial turf games. You see where the bodies are. They might have more injuries, but that would be, I think, survivable. And maybe you have Purdy coming back the week after or the week after or the week. Who knows when he's coming back? But you've got two wins in your pocket already. Barros, which one would Kyle Shanahan rather have? Come out of this with a healthy team, generally, no more major injuries, or a win? If you could only take one of them, which one would Kyle Shanahan want?
A healthy team or a win? I mean, you'd have to tell me how unhealthy they are and how long those injuries would last. But yeah, I'd say the health is so much more important. I mean, I think that this team kind of designed itself to win in the back half. And so coming out with a loss, going 1-1 to start the season would not be, a jolt to them. They would have been prepared for it. But I mean, Tim, the answer is, can they get a win and come out healthy?
Yes.
I don't think
they're going to. It was like,
I
mean, I don't know if it's going to be as bad as it was Sunday, but they get hurt on artificial turf. Like, maybe it's a problem they've got. I don't know. But there are certain fields that they do not get out of without injuries. Seattle's one of them. We know New York's another one of them. They got New York on a schedule, by the way. But I don't imagine it's going to be starting quarterback, starting receivers, all pro tight end, but something's going to happen. And, you know, then you got to win the game. Barros, you got to win the game, whatever injuries you have, and then go the next one. Just get to the next week. This is where the easy schedule does come in to help for them big time, because you don't have, you know, some smoke. You don't have Green Bay on this one. This roster, this schedule. You don't have Kansas City. You don't have Buffalo. You know, all those games were on their schedule last year. And guess what? The Rams have to play the Eagles coming up in a couple weeks. Yeah. 49ers do not. This is where you're a little bit shaken up. You're a little bit figuring it out on the fly. You can still get wins if some of your guys are healthy. And we'll see who else gets hurt. Always have to see that. But this is where I think maybe, you know what? Maybe you win that game, you can rest Purdy another couple weeks. And you make sure he's healthy for that game five game in L.A., you know, on that Thursday night. I know you don't like the quick turnaround to get an injured guy back in. But if he's sitting the whole time and you've kind of given him extra time, maybe you sit him all out and then you play him in that game against the Rams. Because that's a huge game, Barros. Like, that's going to be basically, even if the 49ers drop a couple, you win that game, you still feel like you're going to be in control of the division. And unless Arizona's winning out, who knows? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, again, it's all up in the air. But I think they're going to want to really win that game in L.A. to make sure that they've got, you know, if they're at least, say, 3-2, they could be 4-1. Imagine getting banged up and getting through that and being 4-1. We'll see where the Rams are at that point. We'll see if they're healthy. Everything is possible in injuries in the NFL, but I could see a little slow play here, Barrow. Certainly through this one, try to get it out, but not push it. That's why I'm going to be very curious about what happens with Trent. And then the two home games, try to win them on grass, and then really try to win that game five in SoFi.
I wonder if this is the right time to float my hotel pillow theory. Do you want to hear?
Yeah, I'm getting fast. Let's go.
Boy.
Let's go.
Oh boy, do I.
Yeah.
Well, the theory goes that you over, you know, your life, you save up and you buy a really expensive pillow, and you get used to sleeping on this, you know, soft pillow that you picked out just for you. But when you go to a hotel, you don't have your pillow. Mm-hmm. and you have to deal with the hotel's pillow, and you don't have a very good sleep because you've gotten spoiled by that wonderful pillow that you have at home. I think that that's the 49ers' problem with grass and turf, is that they really have good fields. Yeah. Their Levi's field is great. Their practice field is like, you know, like a putting green. It's a good field, and they love it, and they all rave about it. And it won, you know, the Athletic did a player poll last year. What's your favorite surface to play on? Levi's won. So, I mean, my thought is that, you know, they
practice. It's too nice. It's too nice.
On this beautiful grass, and then they go play on a hotel pillow, and they get roughed up because of it. They're just not used to playing on that surface. That's why, you know, Trent Williams has a knee injury, and that's why George Kittle has a hamstring. That's my theory, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, I get where you're trying to go with it, but it doesn't explain their injuries in training camp. It doesn't explain some other things. So, and also, to try to fix it, would you try to make a worse grass field so they would be used to bad fields? You know, it's kind of tough to fix that one.
Well, I mean, you're asking the question: why do they? Why are they so delicate on turf? And I'm giving you my best answer.
It's not terrible. I appreciate the attempt at it. I think other teams have players get hurt on artificial surfaces too. It just so happens the 49ers have had this run of important players on it, but I do think it is remarkable that you can just plot it out and say they will get injuries in this game. Like you could have said going into the Seattle game, they are getting hurt there. I think those games are physical in Seattle. I think, you know, there are some of the reasons why they get banged around, and I think they do have players who have kind of pre-existing injuries. You know, Juwan Jennings had the calf going into it. You know, maybe that, you know, in some way affects getting another injury. I don't know. The turf, though, could happen at any time. Trent Williams is an older player. It's not bad. I think it's kind of a blending of a lot of different reasons, probably. But it is noticeable, and certainly we'll be watching what happens in New Orleans. I don't think that's a great surface. I don't think it's a bad one, but I don't think it's a great one. I think SoFi's solid. I think that is actually one of the best artificial turfs. I think New York, obviously, we're going to be watching there, is a awful one. We know they hate it. They had their season torn up by it before. We shall see what happens to this one. They've had a couple times. They've had a couple other trips to there, right, since then, and they have not suffered the same kind of injuries. So it doesn't mean guarantee you're going to get injuries. It just means the likelihood in a very violent sport that you would get more injuries or you would suffer more severe injuries because you're on artificial surface is true. But that's enough of a rant there. Eddie Pinheiro talked. He's been around, a solid veteran. I remember him trying out for the Raiders, thought he was solid. Not a booming leg, but I think they don't care at this point. They want accuracy. They want someone, when they're lining up for a 40-yard kick to win a game, that they're going to feel good about, not thinking that things are going to be pulled left, which they definitely thought with Jake Moody. What did you think about Shanahan's explanation? It seemed very terse. So much going on, right, that the release of Moody is big news, but the next day it's Mac Jones, Brock Purdy, it's all these other things. But what was Shanahan's mood like explaining releasing Moody, and what was Pinheiro like this week?
Well, Shanahan's, you know, the takeaway was that, and we guessed this, is that you don't want to cut ties with somebody that you think is going to be good and have him become good for another team. And Shanahan told a story about how when he was the Washington offensive coordinator, their kicker, you know, missed a bad kick, and Shanahan went into the head coach's office and told the head coach that he had to get rid of the guy, head coach being his dad.
Yes,
and the head coach told him, no, let's be patient. And then the kicker missed another kick, and Kyle Shanahan felt vindicated. And they did cut the guy. And then that guy ended up being a Pro Bowl kicker for another squad. Shanahan's never said exactly who it is he's talking about, and nobody really kind of fits perfectly his description. I believe it's Graham Gano.
Okay. He wasn't a Pro Bowl kicker, was he?
Doesn't quite fit. ask Corey Rush to ask Shanahan today the answer to that, and I didn't get an answer back, but we'll ask him tomorrow to do the big reveal on who that was. But there is a much better case in point, which is Daniel Carlson, who was a Vikings draft pick, I think a fifth rounder. I want to say 2018. Carlson, in his first game, only has one field goal attempt. He makes it. In the second game against the hated Green Bay Packers, he misses one in the regular period.
Regulation.
And two in overtime in a game that ends up tied, 29-29. They cut him the next day. He gets picked up by the Oakland Raiders, goes 16 for 17 the rest of the season, and has been one of the most consistently good kickers ever since then. Now, the 49ers were a lot more patient with Moody, perhaps to their detriment, than the Vikings were with poor Daniel Carlson back in 2018. But that was the impetus for keeping him around. Now, my critique of that is that when you're Kyle Shanahan and you're John Lynch, you're relying on other people to tell you how talented Jake Moody is. We kept hearing that. He's a talented young guy. He's so talented. But we didn't see it. I mean, where was the talent? I mean, at some point, you just have to look at the numbers and say, okay, we're not seeing this talent translated into field goals. And there was no confidence in him, and there's no confidence from him
I think
parted ways.
That was the most problematic. Well, of many things, obviously the misses are just the real thing, but then you looked in his eyes and you didn't think he thought he was going to make it. And I get what Shanahan's saying, but we talked about this last week and the week before. You're not kicking next year. These games are not next year. These games are right now. The kicks are happening right now. You can't hold on to a guy for what he might be in 2 years. That's meaningless. It's what's happening before you right now. And why would you hold on to him until he could become a Pro Bowler? Graham Gano. That's pretty funny. It's great. If it's Graham Gano, that's pretty good.
That's the guess.
The reason they kept on Moody was because of Graham Gano. that's good. I might text Shanahan right now and say, was it Graham Gano? I don't think he'd appreciate that. But it's not. The games are happening right now. You have to believe right now. Your players need to believe it right now. Who cares if it's in 2 years what he might be? And he might not be, by the way. So what are you really relying on here? You got to rely on what's happening in the moment. And we saw what happened in Cleveland 2 years ago. We saw what happened in Tampa Bay 3 years ago. We've felt the whole time, even at home, he's not the kicker that they thought he was. So I won't go on and on about this, but that is interesting. And that is Graham Gano. If it is. If it isn't, I will say we'll clarify this in the next show.
Yes, but yes.
That makes me laugh a lot if it was Graham Gano. As I say, you go, Graham Gano, we made Pro Bowls? What Pro Bowl was that? All right. Kendrick Bourne is back. Obviously, a very popular guy in the locker room. One of the Kyle Shanahan's favorite players. One of the, locker room, just a joyful guy. He spoke to the media. What was he like? Is it you think this is just going to be a natural fold right in?
Yeah, I think so. I didn't take part in his media scrum. I did read quotes afterwards, but bottom line, his foot feels good. And that was sort of the reason he wasn't practicing in New England. It does kind of bring up a good question, though. He hasn't practiced a lot. I don't know how much he practiced with the Patriots. So even if he knows this offense, it's hard to see him getting 44 snaps. It might be more like 14 or 20. You don't even remember being in this competition, but our Russell Gage versus Marquez Valdez Scantling competition, you ended up winning by one snap, one freaking snap. I guess we should do it again. Like, who's going to get – let's just say that Juwan Jennings plays in this game. Who gets the third most wide receiver? Who among
let's say even if he doesn't, because they're still going to play three wideouts a lot of the time. So, like, who gets the second most snaps after Pearsall at wide receiver? God, I don't even know who I would say. I'll say MVS. If I say MVS, is that your – okay.
You had a lot. Guy.
Well, I don't know who I would say because – it's okay. Basically going to be – it's going to be not the fact that he got in first and still only had one more snap than MVS is not a good sign for Russell Gage. But they're going to need a third, you know, guy who can play the slot. That's Gage. It's going to be Bourne, like, next week. Okay, I'll go with Gage again because I think he's going to get the third team – get the third receiver snap. I don't think it's going to be Sky Moore. I don't think it is going to be.
No.
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to be Jordan Watkins. So I'm not even sure he's going to be active or should be. Unless they feel like he can return. Can he return punts, Barrows?
Oh, yeah, he can return punts.
I mean, he might just flip for Sky Moore, right? I don't think Sky Moore was great on Sunday. So maybe they just flip him if they think he's healthy. Is he practicing?
He's practicing. Okay. He's still limited. Do they put him in one of the more inhospitable places to catch punts? The guys have talked about how kind of dim in there. It's one of the more dim stadiums in the league, probably the most.
It got really dim at the
50 years Bowl. Old.
Yeah, it got really dim in the Super Bowl for the second half. And would you want your returner to also play snaps as a receiver when he's coming off an injury? Probably not.
No, I think we see Watkins next week when they're home against the Cardinals. I think they love Watkins. But again, like Garendo, when you miss time and you're a young player, it's hard to get back on track. It's hard to get that action.
Well, they also think you're going to make mistakes because they always think young players are going to make mistakes. But then when you're coming back from an injury, they really think you're going to make mistakes. That's the way Shanahan thinks. And I think he's right most of the time. I'll go Gage MVS again. It's probably going to be really close. Are either one of them going to get a catch? They almost have to if Jennings is out or limited.
Gage got targeted, incomplete. And then the play was wiped out by that Seahawks roughing the passer. MVS, however, did attract an illegal contact.
There you go.
So, I mean, if you're weighing who had a bigger impact in the game.
The gravity of MVS is really
definitely MVS.
Shaping things.
But, you know, I thought that Mac Jones, again, this goes back to my Brian Thomas theory.
Such detail you have on the Jaguars.
His deep ball isn't bad. He threw a lot of deep balls it wasn't prolific, but the ones that he threw were good, were accurate. A lot of them went to Watkins, in fact. MBS is a deep ball guy. I think they'd love to kind of open it up for McCaffrey and for your guy, Jake Tonjes, on Sunday. So yeah, I would go MVS with that. I think he'd probably get the second most or the third most if Juwan plays.
Poor Luke Farrell's just been skipped right over. The spotlight was on him.
Walker.
He just went boop right to Jake Tong. Just, man, that is a short list of weapons. We know that they're injured. I don't think Juwan's playing. I'll just say, because I think you be safe there. Maybe he'll play and they would really like to have him, I'm sure. But they got Robinson coming back after next game. They have Ayuk coming back whenever after that. You got Jacob Cowing theoretically coming back whenever after that. I keep saying they've got too many receivers, but they clearly don't have them now. They will have to start cutting people when these guys start coming back, but that hasn't happened yet, and he's kind of got to survive this. Any other injury stuff? Jordan James, I guess, is still not even close. Is he somebody they – like, if he's ready to go, that's when they might have to make a cut. You know, Garendo, Robinson, like, they don't keep four running backs. I guess you could just deactivate somebody.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Each week, but is Jordan James anywhere close, and is somebody in jeopardy of a roster move there?
He's still being listed on the injury report. He hasn't been full go yet. He hasn't been full go since, I'd say, early August. So I think that means that he's going to have a hard time getting in. I think they liked him up until that point. But, I mean, if your theory is right, where young guys who have been injured, they're very hesitant about it. He kind of fits that description.
Especially
really
ones
well.
Who carry the ball.
And ones who carry the ball. I mean, poor Grendo proved himself, I thought, at the end of last season, but he gets injured in the summer, and now he's low man on the totem pole. The other big, the big injury, obviously, is Purdy, and they've got Mac Jones. They don't have anything beyond Mac Jones.
Yep.
They've got Adrian Martinez, who's never attempted a pass. They brought in Mike White for a tryout earlier this week, and he makes a ton of sense, but they haven't signed him yet.
Yeah, and you would think it would have been by now, right?
Yeah, he doesn't know
the game plan.
Unless they're sneaking him into practice, and I wouldn't put it past an NFL team to do that right after the media leaves the field. This guy like takes off his overcoat, and it's Mike White, and he's got his jersey on.
No, nobody aggregate that. Nobody aggregate that one. I guess they could be thinking, listen, if we're down a third quarterback, we're going to lose anyway. That's not how teams usually think. Is Josh Johnson available? They got that one all set up.
I mean, you're looking at a Philadelphia scenario, NFC Championship.
What did they do in the second half? I don't remember. McCaffrey was a little bit, but what else did they do there? Who was playing quarterback there? I don't even remember.
Johnson got a concussion.
Yeah, but I know. But so who actually played quarterback?
I think Purdy did, and he just handed the ball.
Oh, really? They wouldn't put him back in the hand. Okay, because they went to McCaffrey for a series, and it was just, no way. They just knew what was going to go on. So maybe they just have Martinez, and they just run the ball. Like, that could just be it. Now, if Mac Jones is hurt early, that's a debacle. But maybe they figure he stays healthy. And remember, he was hurt going into the regular season, right? He barely made it back to practice because he had a knee injury.
Oh, yeah, he's still on the practice report. He's still on the practice report.
Injury report, yeah.
Injury report, he's full go, but they're still listing him with that knee injury.
Oh, they're so fascinating, these guys. Every day is something. Every day is an emergency episode. We've only done 7 of them, and let's keep going, Barros. Anything else going into this game in New Orleans? Any good dinners planned out there? Any?
I'm supposed to meet with Mike Triplett Saturday or Friday night. No, Saturday night, and then I think the game will be over. We'll be finished
noon start, right?
6:30 New Orleans time. So I'm hoping Jeff Duncan takes us out on the town for a really fancy meal. I'm looking forward to that.
I've been at a couple of those. I will not be in New Orleans, but I will. I'll have my home pillow, so I'll be nice and rested. And I'm not so sure about you. I kind of like those hotel pillows, by the way. So I'm always at my best on the road, except for when I get sick in Seattle, which was last year. This year I was just fine. I was a little scared about that, Bears. I'm sure I didn't show it. I'm sure nobody could tell.
You only told the story like 600 times.
Well, everyone asked me about it. Like I said, I happened to be like coming down with it in front of everybody at dinner, except for you, because you weren't invited to that group dinner. And it just is a flash memory everyone has of me looking like I was green sitting in that restaurant. So all is well. I survived it. I don't know where else I'm going to go on the road. Maybe LA. LA is getting very, very tempting to me. If that's Purdy's return, if it means so much. It's obviously such a quick trip. Maybe I will go to LA. We shall see Thursday night. There's no other games around it. It feels like I might be going. I'm kind of talking my way into that one, but I probably should have been headed that way. I just wanted to hold off on it. I'll wait a couple more weeks, or at least one more week before I decide to do that.
I don't know if I want to go to the Giants game for, you know, the medical reports that you're
going to be. Yeah, I don't think I want to be a part of that. Rutherford, as I say, yeah. Giants might be playing in the playoffs, by the way, in that Thursday night series, Thursday night game.
Our Giants. Yeah.
The San Francisco. That's what I thought you were saying. All right. That's enough stuff. So many things going on with 49ers, as always. But I am calling a victory. 13-10. Mac Jones is okay. One or two relatively minor injuries, nothing devastating, but we shall see. And the defense holds up. The defense serves, and they're going to need that. And then we'll see what shape they are in. We'll see if Purdy's back in week three. Maybe he isn't. Maybe it's not till week four. Maybe he isn't. Went to week five. This will be very fascinating. But maybe, just tough it out. Be tough. Get through this. Maybe no one, you have Purdy for the rest of the season, and then see if they can get some momentum off of this.
Eddie Pinero field goal makes over under 2.5. What are you taking?
Oh, I take under two. Two is a lot, Barrows. So I'll say two, but two for two. What do you say? Two for three? Three.
No, he's making three. I think he's got three. He's got three in him.
Is he going to make all of them?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think he's going to make a couple. I just think he's just a normal professional kicker. Every kicker's making them, right? You just turn on TV, there's guys making 51 yarders. This is the NFL. Although I guess the Packer guy missed a 48 yarder today.
And Matt Gay missed one too.
Yeah. But I think Eddie Pinero is solid, and that's all they need. Just the Robbie Gould thing. Get to the 25. You're going to make the field goal. Get to the 30. It's a little chancier, but you'll probably make it. Get to the 35, then it's 50-50. But that's the NFL kicking, not what they've had when it's been essentially it's been 50-50 since week 10 of last season. That's not great. Or week 9 of last season, whatever it was. Okay, enough Moody. Would you stop talking about Moody? That's enough of this Moody stuff.
Can't resist. It's like catnip.
And if it's Graham Gano, oh God, yes. I want to text when he says it's Graham Gano. I want to know immediately. Graham Gano. All right, everybody, that's the show for today. We'll get you after the game on Sunday, unless Barrows is on some drunken bacchanalia on the streets.
Oh yeah, that's where I'm going.
Very possible. He's done it before. Jeff Duncan, take care of him. He's my guy. And there are various other great things to do. All right, that's the show for today.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.